for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Makeup on.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. No guest tonight, just the love that is found between the two hosts.
Phew.
Tomorrow night, my gay assistant, Matt's going to come in here for just a first half hour.
Is that really
no.
doing him justice?
No, just to, no, just... no.
But just to call
Anderson him. Hates. Well, he's also a TV star. Because, yeah.
He was obviously cast for your show is what I'm thinking.
He's
he's super gay.
Because he's such a horrible assistant.
Oh no, he's not. That's where you're wrong.
The only way it's possible is if he was cast for your show.
Well, first off, let me tell you about horrible assistants. The bar is subterranean. Yeah. It is so low in
it's
the Corolla assistant
right.
thing that all you have to do is show up, not take a swing at me, and you're far superior than my last five assistants. So that's number one. But number two, he's competent. He's got,
got chutzpah.
He's got what we call it. He's coming in here tomorrow night.
Is
he's
Ray from at the, least coming with him?
He's from the TLC show.
Now, Ray, we can't let on because Ray knows too much.
Yeah, no, he doesn't really. There's nothing Ray knows that you don't know.
Really?
No. Right? No. What could possibly?
I don't know.
You've heard horrific things from me.
I know. That's what I was so surprised. Remember that one time I brought him in here as a surprise and you thought,
Kind of
yeah,
ironic.
Well, I didn't like the ambush feel of it. That's all.
It's ironic because Ray seems to know very little.
Yeah, Ray doesn't seem to know very much. But I'll plug the TLC show, which by the way, I met, went and paid my grandmother a visit yesterday. She doesn't have cable because
of course,
I only have two shows on cable.
Right. Well, you have three. Man Show's airing again.
Oh, Man Show's. Yeah. Okay, it's only three shows. But it's hardly double digits. It's not like I have 13 shows on cable. I only have three. I'm only on three stations, three nights a week.
Be fair. She never heard the radio show. Maybe she has heard the radio show again.
She has.
It was about 2 years ago.
But she better hope she's not listening now.
All right, go ahead.
So she says she doesn't have cable, but my mom will get her a cassette of the TLC show.
Nice.
Yeah. She wants to check that out. Mom's into it.
Yeah.
Mom's into it. She's trying to get grandma into it. Grandma says to me yesterday that she saw the first parts of the first episode, but was nodding on and off, sort of dozed off. she was fading in and out, so she didn't see the whole. She didn't see the whole episode. Made it
put
clear
her to sleep.
Me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I mean, you know, it's good for inducing
sleep.
It's good for inducing narcosis. But
she just wanted to make it clear that she didn't see the whole episode because she wasn't conscious for a good portion of it. But she did. She would come back and then doze off again.
Yeah, and good sleep though. Very nice sleep.
Oh yeah,
no doubt.
Put her down like elephant tranquilizer. And the thing that's funny is it's on a cassette. It's not like, well, it comes on at 10 o'clock at night, and I usually go to bed about 9:30, right. But I tried to stay up, and I just couldn't make it. It's on a cassette. Could have plugged it in the following day. It's not like my mom went and wrestled it back from her the following day.
Or her attendants could have stopped it and let her sleep.
She'd show them all day, every day. Just plug it back in when you're more lucid during the day. Here's the other thing.
Or just catch up with the part you missed.
Here's the thing that's funny, too. That's episode number one. Number four is going to air in 2 days.
Huh.
You know what I mean? In and out, just dozing. Liked what she saw. Moved a little too fast.
Obviously,
not fast enough to keep her awake.
Yeah.
But moved a little too fast, but liked what she saw.
Oh, well, that's
But
huge...
again, can't render a fair judgment
now,
because she was in and out of consciousness.
But on a Corolla scale, that's off the chart. I mean, to acknowledge it was your show, B, to spend the 3 minutes without sleeping, watching, and to give it a positive butt review.
Positive, but too fast. But again, here's what it was.
Breathtaking.
Yeah, but you know what it's like? It was like, had a good batting average, but didn't have enough times at bat to actually have it go down as a year.
Oh, I see.
A season. Her thing was like,
she'll find
the parts I liked. I saw the stuff I saw moved a little fast, but I liked it. But I didn't see enough to really render a full decision.
So it really wasn't a positive.
In and out. In and out. I like that part. Couldn't just fall asleep. Got to come back and then go back down again. And it's a cassette. It's a cassette, and her TV's at the foot of her bed, sitting on top of the VCR. It's not like my grandmother gets up at 6 a.m. and she's over at the firing range, and then it's off to the YWCA, and then it's off to do some base jumping over at Monument Valley.
She's 94.
But she's at home. She sits at home all goddamn day, does not leave the house.
But she does not disappoint.
No.
She does not disappoint. She is never disappointed.
And she does not disappoint.
Even more, sort of more creative and advanced
I'll tell you.
A follow-through this time.
Yeah.
Really rich, robust.
In and out.
In your face.
Fading in and out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hand your mom. Mom got the tapes.
I showed up at 3 in the afternoon on a Saturday.
To discuss
it with her? Could have thrown it in thing at 2. And no. Not going to do that.
No.
In and out. Not sure.
Yeah.
Jury's still out. You know what I mean?
All right.
That's the first one. She'll never get.
Oh.
Listen, if we're on a, you know, it's going to take you 4 or 5 weeks to get through the first episode.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't be on that.
You're a woman of advanced age.
Well,
you're not going to make it.
She's announcing that just so you'll get disappointed.
Not going to make it. Krista?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. The thing that's great about my family is I don't bring stuff up. Like, I don't go, hey,
you know
what
better.
You think? You know, I just, nothing. Everything's cool. No problems.
So disappointing to bring it up.
Yeah, well, I never would, but
because
if I...
be like, crushing.
But I'll sit, and then they'll bring it up.
Why don't you bring it up sometime just to see? Just so you play a different role in it. Just go, what'd you think? I'm so excited about it.
You still get the in and out.
But it'd be interesting just if you take a different tack, just to see what it does to them.
I might try that.
Just be interesting.
I still think you're fading in and out.
Oh, of course you'll get some version of the same thing. But you may get something more intense. We gotta put you down all the way.
I was laughing. Like, when you write a bad review of a movie or TV show, you say it's a snoozer. Put me to sleep. Put this reviewer under.
Yeah.
In and out. Krista?
Yeah, I'm here.
One more time. No cable. Cassette. 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 Could've watched it the next day. Cassette.
Yeah.
No cable. Could've watched it too that day. Not like my mom came over at 10:30 at night, dropped it off, and said, I'll be needing it at dawn. That's just floating around. Doesn't need it back. Okay.
Yeah. Does not disappoint.
Does not disappoint. Nobody disappoints. That's what you have to learn.
Well, Corollas are sort of cornered that mark.
Oh, my God. My God.
Krista, what's going on there?
Hey, I've been going out with the same guy who's the same age as me. I'm 27.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years. And he is just kind of immature. Kind of fights with my daughter, who is 6.
What do you mean he fights? What does that mean, he fights with
your daughter? Well, okay, say we're laying all in the bed. I'm in the middle. She's on my left. He's on my right. And we're waking up, and she says, Mommy, hold on to me. You know, she wants some attention. And I'm in Ryan's arms. And then he's still holding on tightly as she knows that I'm going to, you know, cuddle with her. And so he doesn't want to let go, and he knows he needs to let go. Just silly things like that, and he just kind of always wants the attention. So it's always kind of a pull of,
I don't trust a cuddler.
But at the same time, what's that?
What size bed do you have?
What size?
Yeah.
It's a queen size.
Oh, 3 of you on a queen.
Yeah. No, she has her own bed next to mine, but she likes to crawl in there.
She's 6 years old. You can't get her your own room at 6 years of age?
Well, and you live in a one bedroom.
She does.
What's this
whoa,
guy?
Whoa! She has her own room.
Yeah.
Why isn't she?
I'm not
in her...
weird. I'm not a Michael Jackson case. Okay.
Why isn't she in her own room?
She
is. She gets up in the morning.
No,
crawls
in. Said she's in the bed next to her.
Yeah, she has her own bed next to mine.
And she has one in her own room.
No.
Why doesn't she have her bed? Hey, listen.
We tried that. It's not working yet.
Krista, that is bad parenting.
It is.
You understand?
When do you start that? How
right
old?
Away.
Like, well, it's right away.
6 months?
6 months.
Yeah, a year.
And they just stay in there.
Yes. Teaching them, first of all, it doesn't give them the chance to individuate and to be able to master their own environment. And every time you cave into her needs to sort of be next to you and stuff, you're giving her the message that she can't handle it on her own.
Mm.
This is a very, very poor parenting style.
Right.
Not to say you can't be around your kids, you can't let them in once in a while. You need to require her, teach her to build her own competency, her own independence.
I think that's what my grandma was doing for me. I feel like that's what she wanted me to do. And symbolically put my bed.
You need to make a little ritual out of taking that bed out of your room and giving her own room, her own place. And the boyfriend, I don't want to let him off the hook. His behavior is reprehensible, too. But both of them are doing the same damn thing. You're taking care of them both like they're infants.
Mm.
And neither of them are infants.
Wow.
And you need to set limits with them. Of course you're feeling like you're torn apart. You're treating them like they're 8 months old. They're not. They're competent individuals whom you don't have to be responsible for every second of.
Getting cathartic, right, buddy. Krista?
Yeah?
What's your boyfriend do for a living?
Probably doesn't even work.
He's an engineer. He's a civil engineer.
Civil engineer.
Yeah.
Is there another name for that?
No, that's civil engineer.
No, I'm wondering what euphemistically that's called.
No, I mean, if you're going to be a civil engineer, you have to have a degree in engineering, right?
He's from Waterloo.
All right.
Waterloo, Iowa?
Iowa or France?
No, Waterloo, Belgium? University of Canada.
Yeah. Canada.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, listen, everybody needs to grow up in that house, all right? It's time. Everybody has their own space, their own. You're not responsible for each other's feelings 24/7.
Yeah. I always get the heebie-jeebies when I hear about those clingy guys.
Yeah. But she's
sort of
doing the same
demanding
thing with the guy that she's doing with the daughter.
Yeah,
she's creating these clingy, poorly boundaried relationships.
I would venture to say that most guys are not set up to have relationships or to behave correctly in a relationship. They're shortcomings.
Young guys.
Well, even all guys. Hey, here's sort of what I think about guys. I think guys need to be sort of trained.
Listen, there's a guy named Lionel Tiger who's a biological anthropologist, and his point has been...
Lionel Tiger.
You mentioned that name 3 times before, and each time you've had the same response.
Yeah.
At Rutgers University. And he has said, throughout human history, women have tamed men.
Mm-hmm.
To bring men in to...
Did he actually use the term tame?
He did use the word tame, yeah.
Well, he's got some sort of feline obsession, yeah. This guy.
It just comes from his name.
Yeah, well, of course. And guys will, I mean, if you told most guys, look, if you want to keep your old girlfriend and have sex with her, you know, when she was cool with it and you didn't want to, you know, you just wanted to work and then come home, be kind of left alone, and you want to just, you wanted to masturbate while I danced around naked and then go see one of your old girlfriends again. And
it was cool. It's cool. That's whatever.
If you did that, guys would start sort of spinning out.
Drifting in that direction.
Yeah.
A lot of guys. All guys? Most guys.
Most straight guys, unfortunately. Yeah. But I would say a fair percentage of guys need to be sort of brought in, taught the rules, and then there's a sort of military quality to it, which is, look, you're a little out of control. You weren't such a good student in high school. We're going to bring you in. You got to get up at this time. You got to make your bed. We got to do some training. And don't worry, you'll be happier.
Right.
You're going to fight. You're going to struggle
at
the beginning.
It's like the dog crapping on the carpet.
Yeah, it's really no different than a dog, in that a dog is probably happier when he has guidelines and rules, mm-hmm, and things like that. And when you just give him run of the house, they end up chewing on themselves, which is their form of masturbation.
Ah,
you know what I'm saying?
Just a euphemism for that.
No, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they get
absolutely
neurotic. And kids the same way.
Yeah, kids need limits and structure. Absolutely. And men.
And if she's letting her guy sort of go unchecked, then he'll just become another kid.
Right.
All right. Let's talk to Scott, who's 18. Scott?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
All right. I got with this hot girl at my work the past 2 nights, which is all fine and good. But she's engaged.
Where do you work?
I work in a movie theater.
Hmm. What's she do?
She's my supervisor there.
How old is she?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. She's 18 as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she engaged at 18?
That's a good question. She's engaged to this 19-year-old guy. I don't know a lot about him.
Mm. You guys sell goobers and Raisinets over there?
Just Raisinets.
Okay.
Come on.
I
can't talk
to
you.
He's screwing with me. Hold on a second. Are you serious? Just Raisinets?
Just Raisinets.
Oh.
Okay, listen. Oh. I've had an ass full of this world. I just have. I've had an ass full of thick crust pizza. I've had an ass full of pepperoni thick crust pizza. I've had an ass full of trail mix. I've had an ass full of Sunny D. I've had an ass full of Raisinets. I've had an ass full of Fiesta mix. I've had an ass full of all the stuff that people pass off on as good, and they suck.
Yes.
I really believe as a smart person I'm being punished from a culinary standpoint. I realize that. I realize that there's piles of trail mix. You know, does anyone really like trail mix? I mean, here's the thing about trail mix. You could pull out the smoked almonds and the peanuts, or you could pull out the M&Ms and go, I'd rather have this.
Yes, that's true.
I don't need it cut with the sunflower seeds and the little mini pretzels.
You'd rather
and
the
stuff.
Straight,
just
straight
give me the good part of the stuff.
The straight cocaine.
It's, I don't need it stepped on with the baby laxative. And the same's like, I'm going to order 10 pizzas, 5 pepperoni, 5 cheese. No sausage and onion, no olive, no mushroom. What kind of society are we living in now? Here's the deal, everybody. Raisinets are okay.
Barely.
Not great, just okay. They'll do in a pinch. Hey, if you're good and stoned, you'll eat some Raisinets. Goobers are peanuts that have chocolate on them and are far superior.
Far superior. And
far superior.
Well, by the way, an even superior product is a chocolate-covered almond, but instead they give us candy-coated almonds.
No,
they're awful.
They can't crack
what
your
is
teeth.
That?
Oh, they're pink. They look like
white.
The Easter Bunny crapped them out. I'm just saying, like, here's what I'd like to do. I would like to just go, look, I'm taking a vote on this stuff. I have a sneaky suspicion that nobody likes Fiesta Mix, and we just get it.
Yeah.
Nobody likes Trail Mix. We just get it. And let me say this, too, while I'm at it. You know the people that have to argue with you with everything
about
when you're trying
ideas.
To make a point?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
These are the people that won't let these ideas ever get off the ground. I just would like to say, look, I don't think anyone likes trail mix. I think they like some of the components of trail mix. They'd rather have a handful of smoked almonds. They'd rather have a handful of, like, bark and carob balls and, you know, sunflower seeds and raw almonds. And, like, I don't even know. My mouth is like doesn't know what to make of it.
It was something cool in the 70s, and it just stuck around.
It is a snacking equivalent of the booze catch tray at a bar. Yes. Like a bunch of stuff. We made margaritas. We made Tom Collins. We made everything. Some red wine. We just dump it all into your mouth. See if you can figure it out. No, I don't want that. Here's what I'm saying. People argue with you, though. They're like, I like trail. I know. Shut up.
Well, here's the
Stop
problem.
Stop arguing.
People are a little bit robotic.
Yes.
And the things that,
stupid,
things that, things
too.
That they've never really thought of and have sort of enjoyed in some way,
I know,
they'll defend.
I know, and they
because
defend
here,
it.
Here's the defense. They're 33,000 feet, thirsty and hungry, and
right.
Southwest hands you some crap.
I like that, the Fiesta, yeah. Mouse. Shut up. You're an imbecile.
Not an imbecile. You're just not thinking.
So no, you do I'm going to call you stupid
right, you take those
you
same
like
people
that.
And you do the taste tests, you know what's going to happen.
Here's what trail mix. Here's what the Fiesta mix sounds like. It's like somebody took a bag of pretzels, punched it, and then put some taco seasoning in it, shook it up, and then dumped
peanut,
a whole bunch
peanuts.
Of salt in there and one peanut, shoved it in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. And some Chex.
Sucks. But here's what I'm saying. First off, here's the person I want to punch in the stomach. You know when you're complaining about something, you're like, what do we need the stickers on the tomatoes for? What do we need that sticker on there? Well, that's the way they used it. Okay. But I'm just saying, how did we get along all those years without the sticker? Well, they put the sticker on there. Oh, okay. And then, like, about your third go round, the person's like, you know, the sticker's edible. They make the glue.
Oh.
The glue's out. And at a certain point, you're like, hold on a second. Do you work for the goddamn Tomato Growers Commission? Are you part of some Tomato Growers lobby or something? They're like, no. Then shut up!
I'm with you.
Shut the F up! Stop arguing with me!
Yes. Why, arguing just to argue.
Right!
No for no's sake.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You want more stickers on the tomato?
It's covered with stickers.
Don't we cover
it's all
with
edible.
Stickers, you effing retard? What? You have some vested interest in tomatoes and stickers? Your dad runs a decal factory, or he makes the water-based adhesive that is used to affix the sticker to the... What do you got? Then shut up! So that's the first thing. Stop arguing.
Yeah.
The sticker on the tomato is a nuisance. Let's get rid of it. Please stop arguing. Trail mix sucks. Thick crust pizza. Oh, yeah. And here's the other one, too. Somebody drops off five thick crust pizzas from Domino's, and you're like, this stuff sucks. It's doughy. This is what kids like. Just big piles of carbs, you know, just bready carbs. And they're like, well, Geno's East in Chicago. Yeah. How come we're not there? We're not at Geno's East in Chicago.
Right.
Well, they make an exquisite thick crust. I know, but that's not.
That's the only one. Yeah.
Yes, that is good. Yes.
That one.
Okay, I grant you that.
That one.
What is that gene where people have to point out?
I know. Well, it's the same one that gets.
We're not at Geno's East. This is not that thick crust.
That lets the a-holes get by with this crap.
Oh, my God.
That's the gene.
I just have to keep yelling. I just get violently angry. Like, just shut up and stop defending this crap. This thick crust sucks.
Yep.
It's the same people with the cake. You're at the stupid birthday party. They got that sheet cake with the white frosting. And you're like, oh, man, this stuff blows. What am I, 11? I don't like that. And they're like, well, you know, they make a great. And if you go to the Jewish Vons. District, you go to Fairfax and you go to Benish, the bakery, and they pay $36.50. They have a German chocolate Dutch almond cake. This isn't it. So shut up. What is that person?
I don't know.
Like, they don't think
but
I
you
understand
know
that there's
though.
Good cake out there. Yes,
are
I understand.
Are those the Red Sox fans?
Oh, my God.
The same
God,
guy?
It's just, that's the other thing. I don't know why that's brought this one up, too, but I was just yapping about this today. I don't like the helmets being covered with the pine tar, it obscures, you know, the guy plays for the Angels and the whole
thing. Kids were looking at it going, why do they do this? That's
right,
weird.
Right, but here's my point. This is this guy again. I'm like, look, I don't like the pine tar smeared all over the top of the top of the helmet. You can't even see what team they're on.
They reach
up.
Here's
the team. They use the pine tar so they can hang. No ass, Sherlock. I know what pine tar is used for. I'm not complaining about that. And what is the part where you just play the contrarian every effing time? Here's the deal, everybody. Sunny D tastes like ass compared to orange juice. Mountain Dew tastes like ass compared to ass, even, actually. Thick crust pizza is not as good as thin crust pizza. Right. Pepperoni, not as good as sausage and onion. And Raisinets, nowhere near as good as Goobers. That's it. But we live in a life filled with Fiesta Mix and Raisinets and thick crust pizza. And if you're smart, you just get pounded. Because everything's made for stupid people.
Well, it's not even smart. Aware.
Aware.
You're alive. You're awake.
And I just realized, like, we have a choice, everybody. Let's not do it. Don't buy
it. They're not giving you the
people,
choice.
Stop buying Trail Mix and stop buying the Raisinets and stop arguing with me. Goobers are 100 times better than Raisinets. End of discussion.
So anyway, Scott, we'll be back to you in a few minutes. We'll be back to you in a while.
But thanks for triggering that tirade, buddy. Well, because I realize that 60% of the crap I put in my mouth I don't even like. I'm just stuck on an airplane or I'm a slave to the vending machine up the street, up the hall here, which doesn't have the peanut M&Ms. It just has the regular ones.
Doesn't have that anymore. Get rid of M&Ms.
Listen. Instead of bending to the will of stupid people, and believe me, here's all it is. Here's all it is, everybody. 8-year-olds like thick crust pepperoni pizza. Because they're 8. If you're 38 and you like thick crust pepperoni pizza, you're just stupid. That's all it is. If you like the music you like when you're 8, if you like the fashion you like when you're 8, if you like the movies you like when you're 8, or the books, you're just dumb. It's retarded. Not retarded, retarded, but retarded in your growth.
Yes.
You're supposed to like that when you're 8,
Arrested
when you get a little older. That's right, not the TV show. Oh, please, all you idiots, stop ruining it for us food-wise. And we could all stand up and get some peanuts on the plane and not that Fiesta Mix. All
right. But I'm allergic to peanuts.
Then walk, jackass. All right. And you're not. If I thought you were, I believe you. Here's what you're allergic to. You got molested when you're 8. Now the world becomes becomes your... Yeah, you get to victimize the world. It's awesome. All right. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
You have 5 seconds.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
2.
Back in a minute.
1.
Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. All right. Where were we? We'll talk to Scott.
Let's finish with Scott and his theater.
Raisinets.
Movie theater.
No Goobers, but Raisinets.
We'll get past that now.
It's because Raisinets is a good name and Goobers is a horrible name, and that's why people have Raisinets
and
not
Goobers.
We just call
them chocolate covered peanuts.
Well, they don't even call them Raisinets anymore.
What do they call them?
They're just sun-made raisins, chocolate-covered.
Oh, well, that's chocolate-covered raisins.
It's riding on the tail, the coattails of Raisinets.
But there's still something called Raisinets.
Yeah. It's not at his theater.
Okay.
Anyway, what's up there? So you've hooked up with this girl that's 19 and is engaged. Why is she engaged so young? You don't know?
She said she thought she couldn't get anyone better.
You guys have those candy almonds? Or the chocolate almonds?
I don't think we have almonds.
It's Wisconsin.
We could not do business.
But they have mayonnaise-covered french fries, though.
That's like, you go in there in Wisconsin, you get a casserole. What do you want? You want the individual size or the family size casserole? You want the tuna and the macaroni or just macaroni and mayo casserole? Cheese melted on, simulated cheese melted on top? I could really say, I bet they would serve casseroles. Scott, we went to Wisconsin. We got a casserole, right?
Well, the wild casserole was the University of Iowa.
Oh, Iowa, right. Yeah. Scott?
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys serve casseroles at the movie theater?
No, we do not.
Okay. All right. So she's chaotic.
How is she chaotic?
Well, the fact that she would carry on like this when she's engaged to somebody else. Yeah, that's a very, yeah, you know. Yeah, now, women are known to have sort of a final fling before they get married. It's sort of a common thing.
It's a bogus quality.
There is a definite bogus quality. I agree. Absolutely.
I don't know if Scott doesn't care or he's bogus or he doesn't really have a question.
Right.
No, my question is, it's been great. I don't think she should be getting married to this guy. Should I try to cut it off or what should I do?
That's not a question. That's a non-question, Scott.
Yeah.
What should I do?
Can I continue to be getting with her?
He wants to know if you should feel bad or not. I know exactly what he's saying.
What do you mean? That's ask if you should feel bad. You have to ask if you should feel bad when you're
moralistically, should he not interfere with this relationship?
Well,
which he does not
look, if
in?
You feel bad, you feel bad.
Yeah, what are you saying? We can't tell somebody they should or shouldn't feel bad.
Moralistically, should he interfere with this relationship? Which
obviously, you shouldn't be banging somebody who's engaged or married.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a no-brainer. It's not a question. And you're doing something that's destructive to a relationship, of course, most people would feel bad about that.
I do. I'm not banging her. I'm just hooking up. I'm just making out with her.
All right. Are you in love with her?
Oh, no, no.
All right. Well, then knock it off. If you're not that interested,
yeah,
then knock it off.
Very simple.
Especially just hooking up, just making out.
Couldn't find anybody better. What 19-year-old says that?
Nobody says that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think she was 18.
No, she's 19. He's 18.
No, I think she said she was 18 too. Oh, am I nuts, Scott?
She's 18. I'm 18. Her fiance
is 19.
Fiance, 19. Okay. Got it.
There you go. Let's talk to.
Quick before he drops an F bomb.
Sarah. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey there.
22?
Yeah.
What's
How's
up?
It going?
Good.
I had a question for Dr. Drew. I haven't had a sex drive in a really long time, and I was on birth control, and I recently was diagnosed with panic disorder, so I've been taking Paxil, and I stopped taking the birth control because I have no sex drive whatsoever, and it's really frustrating me. And I was wondering if there's anything I could do or take to, get my sex drive going back, because the Paxil really has affected it more. I can't even orgasm now, with anything. I've tried. Mm.
What birth control pill were you on?
Levlin 28, I believe.
And when did you stop?
I just stopped a week ago. And before that, I was on the Depo shot, and I stopped that. I was on that for a year and a half.
That'll shut you down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Okay. Yeah. And then how long were you on Levlin? I'm sorry.
Probably, 3 months.
Was it Levlin or Trilevlin?
I think it was just Levlin, L-E-V-L-I-N.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the birth control pill can definitely affect your sex drive. As we've said, the progesterone, the depot shot can absolutely shut you down. And sometimes it can take 6 months or so to come back. And some women, the triphasic pill will bring it back. Some not. Some the estrogen-based pill will. Some not. You have to kind of mess around with it if you're going to stay on the pill. Probably the best thing to do is just to come off until your sex drive returns. But now in your case, you've then added in Paxil, which, as you found, shuts orgasmic function off and shuts sex drive down even further. The only thing you can do with the Paxil is to add something called Wellbutrin or switch to Remeron or Cerazone. And given that you're using or Lexapro sometimes.
Wellbutrin you don't use alone, you add it.
Well, you can either use alone or add it. Adding it doesn't do that much. It's usually switching to it that's the better thing. But there are three that don't affect sex drive and orgasm. It's Wellbutrin, Remeron, and Cerazone, and sometimes Lexapro. So given that panic's what they're trying to treat with you, Lexapro would be probably the best choice amongst those to see if that still has the same effect on your sex drive and orgasmic function.
Let's play a little Germany or Florida with Dan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening, Dan? 26.
That's right. Germany or Florida. Things got very ugly at a pharmacy when police said one employee stabbed a coworker over who could microwave her soup first. Both women wanted to use the microwave in the break room. While they were fighting over who could use the microwave, one employee grabbed a large kitchen knife off the counter and stabbed the other in the abdomen. The two women then wrestled for the knife, each cutting their hands before the store manager could stop the fight. They didn't get along well with who could use the microwave first became a major issue, according to police. The victim, who was 20, was hospitalized and in good condition. The attacker is 23 and faces charges after being treated at a hospital for her wounds. Germany or Florida?
Feels like Florida.
Feels like Florida. I don't have any German 20-year-olds that behave like that. On the other hand, Dan sounds a little bit shifty, like he might be trying to suck us into one here.
Drew, what does it say about you that you're constantly thinking,
second guessing things, overthinking by
our callers?
Well, I'm going with Florida, and nonetheless, but I can't imagine a German behaving like this. In Florida, it's easy. That's why it's too easy. That's what it is.
I can't imagine a Floridian actually having enough education to be a pharmacist. These must have been just secretaries whatever hanging around.
Stocking the shelves.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I am going with Florida as well. We're going Florida, Dan.
You guys are geniuses, Florida.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well done, Dan. Right,
yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Good times.
All right. You know, I've been a sort of a contrarian and going the other way just to make it interesting, but that really felt Florida.
It's so much Florida, it was almost too much.
Yeah.
But there we go.
Yeah. Let me say this. I'd like to standardize a few things in this country.
Such as?
Well, we're talking about food earlier.
Oh, yeah, we were.
Yeah.
Fiesta mix, actually.
Now, that I don't count that as food.
That's what I'm saying. You got to specify.
I'll tell you, I have fantasies about going to companies and like going to United Airlines or Southwest or Northwest or whoever hell dishes out that Fiesta mix and just standing on the boardroom table and throwing it at people and screaming at them and just ranting and raving. I have these fantasies where I go to these companies and I just start screaming at them about what
just
horrible
product they're
doing.
Just start screaming Fiesta mix. Just scream Fiesta mix.
Yeah, it's my rally call. I would like some uniformity.
Yeah,
I ordered some vegetable soup from some takeout place. I was doing some voiceover
thing. You never know what you're going to get for that
right.
Vegetable soup. It could be like
just clear broth with the mini corn cobs floating around
right,
in
and
it.
Really bland and like a little bit of diced cucumber and that's it.
And to me, it's like zucchini. I tell you, every time I go to that diner that's at the Hard Rock Cafe.
In Vegas.
I get burned. Yeah. You know, they got that diner 24/7 or Lucky 7 or whatever it is. I always go in there. I'm always half in the bag. It's 3 a.m.
I sit down
with Jimmy and a whole bunch of guys. I know.
Yeah.
You open the thing and there it is. Huevos Rancheros. And every time I get burned, I'm like, yeah, buddy. Oh, that's going to be awesome. Because I'm drunk. We've been out gambling. The strip clubs. This is going to have the cheese and the eggs going to be melting with the beans and the tortillas and the you know huevos rancheros, that greasy Mexican whatever you're thinking about 3 a.m. got a couple of drinks in you. Oh, this is going to be awesome. Every time, then what shows up is a breakfast burrito, scrambled eggs put inside of whatever.
Yeah,
I always eat it, but it's always like, oh no, that's not
a breakfast burrito.
That's a breakfast burrito, and they're like, yeah, this is how we do it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, see. it's very dangerous when you start doing that.
Oh, and they say that to you especially. That's what's dangerous.
That's not huevos rancheros. And by the way, at this point, why don't you spring out a tuna melt?
Yeah, that's how we do
it. That's what we do.
That's our huevos rancheros.
But that's a tuna melt. Yeah, we call it huevos rancheros. Why don't you just drag out a trash can filled with fecal matter and go, this is what we call, this is it. This is it. This is what we call.
That's huevos rancheros.
Yeah. These Lula kebabs,
yeah.
This is what we call huevos rancheros. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do it. And I realize that because there's no uniformity in this town and anywhere when it comes to food, you just start getting stuff. So I'm like, I want some vegetables. So I'm picturing the red broth with the chunks of vegetables and stuff. No way.
It could be gazpacho. It could be anything.
Yeah. Nowhere close. No. Nowhere close.
It's just water.
That's
water
what it was.
A couple of corns floating around.
Hot broth. And then proceeded to get in the argument with the person who was the contrarian who was standing next to me. I did that. Isn't that what you picture when you think, I don't know, it's vegetables in it? Yeah, I know. But when you think vegetable soup, you don't picture clear broth with a small corn cob and pea pods floating. Well, you know, it's okay. Listen, if you open a can of Campbell's vegetable soup, is just a corn cob in there with some clear broth? Well, my mother made soup from scratch. Okay, but surely you've seen a can of Campbell's vegetable. No, I'm telling you, my mother was very old. Okay, now I'm livid. Before I was angry about the soup. Now I want to kill you because you're arguing with me about this.
Yes.
Can't even go with me on the vegetable soup.
Yes.
Not going to go that. Never seen it. 40-year-old woman. Never seen it? Your mom made soup. Okay, doesn't mean you've ever been in the supermarket before? When you're in college, your roommate opened a can? Nothing? Nope. Okay. What is that, Drew? What is that?
Well, I'm just thinking about me and metal versus plastic on my teeth and what happens when you start going at somebody when they've made a commitment.
I know, but don't make the commitment to vegetable soup.
But you got to realize once they've made a move, that's it. They've staked their territory.
Be more flexible, everybody. It's not a game show. Here's the deal. We're not standing on a log over a tank of water with pataca bats and hockey masks on. We're trying to have some discourse here.
Yeah.
I'm looking for some common ground.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a point. I'm not yelling at you. It's not an attack. I'm just saying, you know, when you see, I'm actually trying to help you along.
Right.
Like, when you see this, you don't think of vegetable soup, do you? No. Yes, I do.
I'm in now.
You've opened a can of Campbell's soup. Have you seen the Campbell's vegetable?
Well,
No, I have not. Okay, see, now we got it. Now it's on.
Yeah, but it's on your both ends. That's it. It's on. That's the point.
Well, I just refuse to believe that a 4-year-old woman has never seen a can of Campbell's vegetable soup.
Who is arguing this with you?
This is the director from the TLC show. Yeah, her mom made soup from scratch, which then made me more angry because I pictured my mom sitting around smoking pot.
Let me interpret the whole scene for you. She's had an ass full of you.
Yes.
It's over. Bloom's off the road.
That's very, you know what? That is exactly what it is. That's what I realized. People are arguing just to argue because they hate me now. All right. Let's take a break.
Come on. Not on that note.
Brian?
Hello?
16?
Yep.
You, what's up, Brian?
Smoked out and felt like you had a seizure.
Well, I was actually looking on the internet today, and I saw that smoking marijuana, if you have epilepsy. Cause a minor seizure.
Well, not even minor, and even without known epilepsy, it may predispose to seizure. But why? What do you have? What happened?
Well, I was, smoking marijuana with a few buds, and I was just, we were sitting down, and I kind of just like gazed off into the distance, you know, like daydreamed or whatever, and I saw like these like sparks, like only for like 1 or 2 seconds, and I don't know. Right. I just felt
so he has weird. Epilepsy.
No, he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know that.
You have seizure disorder?
No, I don't have a history of epilepsy.
All right, so you saw the sparks. Tell me more. So you saw the sparks, and then what happened?
Could have been a seed blowing up. I've had
that was about it. I mean,
that's it?
Well, I kind of felt like my head was like kind of rocking back and forth a little bit, but only like 2 seconds, I'd say.
But it's...
You're on drugs.
Pot's good these days.
Yeah,
you get high.
What that did you. Maybe, pot has hallucinogenic properties, and it might have induced a little hallucinogenic experience.
I'm telling you, today's weed is not your dad's weed.
No, not at all.
It is sticky and hairy, and it's got little orange pubes growing off it.
Oh, yeah.
Purple pubes, and Brian, it will jack your ass up.
And it may have been a seizure, Brian. It's an interesting thought, and something about you describing is consistent with what we call partial complex seizures, but I think he has
lightweight syndrome.
Yeah.
Good. Stay away from the weed. Stop smoking pot for you. Yeah, start drinking. All right. Or doing coke or whatever. I don't want to tell you what to do. All right, let's take a quick break. Please. Be right back after this.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191-ER. Let's hop back to the phones. Speak to
Kevin.
Kevin. Kevin.
Hello.
25. What's up?
Hey, guys. First off, I just want to say I've been listening to you guys for years, and you guys are absolutely awesome. You've done so much for me and just everyone else. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Cool. Basically, I'm a single guy out, you know, playing the field right now. And in the past few months or so, when bring a girl home, take her into the bedroom, and, you know, I'm ready to go. It's go time. But then, you know, the man downstairs, he's ready to go too. But then you get through a little bit of foreplay, you know, whatever else. Go grab the condom. By the time I'm back with the condom, he's not so ready at that point. And then... So that's problem number one. The second problem, I'd say, once I finally do get them up, maybe with her assistance or something, it's not exactly the longest experience as well. So problem one, you know, getting them ready to go.
All right, we got it.
Keep them going.
Well, here's the thing. I got a couple things to say. First off, Drew, don't you sort of feel like your your relationship with your penis is sort of like a... athlete that's been in the league for a few years as you get older, as opposed to rookie, which is when you're a rookie, you had the legs, you had the strength.
you have to impress.
You had the speed and all that, but yet you didn't have the savvy.
Right.
You didn't have the technique. You didn't have the nuance. Yeah. And then later on in your career, and this is your relationship with your penis, you may have lost a step. But you've made up for it in experience, being able to read the defense, having the techniques down and things
automatic
like that.
At that point.
And so you're actually a better player than you were your first or second year in the league, even though you've lost a step.
You aren't dropping any passes that are sent right to your gut. You're not dropping.
That's right.
They're all going to be
gone. That's right. You're not going to make any more circus catches those days, but you're Mr. Consistent.
But you're right in position to get those passes that are right to your chest.
Third down, move the sticks.
Yeah.
That's right. Third and four. You're the go-to man.
That's right.
Yeah, I feel like that's a relationship I've had in my penis. The technique, I've taken over the technique, but again...
And then you just passed the baton on to some other guy lately.
Lost a step or two.
Right.
Now I'm riding the pine.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I'm just playing the specialty team. I'm just kickoff returns all I'm playing.
Yeah, it's somebody else's penis now.
Right.
All right. But Kevin, let me talk to Kevin.
And he goes too quick.
Well, I got a definite vibe on Kevin.
I think he needs a relationship. He's not.
Yes,
he's not,
but I feel something a little more going on here.
All right, let me say one more thing.
Yeah.
It's all well and good to be one of these guys that tries to bed a multitude of women and bring different. But look, some guys aren't really cut out for it. And if you ain't cut out for it, don't do it. It's not really going
to
work out.
Now, why do you say that in relation to Kevin?
Well, any guy who has difficulty keeping the wood, and then when he gets it, it goes off too quick and stuff. This may not be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually hear something too, Kevin.
Yep.
You sound sort of, for lack of a better word, deeply alone.
To be honest with you, I just got out of a kind of a long relationship about a year ago or so.
And you've gotten over that yet?
Yeah, I think I am. I'm enjoying the single life for what it's worth. You know, I'm having fun meeting new people and stuff.
But, it sounds like it's fun and it's interesting, but you may want to get focused on something a little more meaningful.
Who broke up with who in your long relationship?
It was kind of a college romance, and
she broke up with him.
Okay.
I was the one who officially ended it. You know, just because
she was banging his body.
No, please, come on.
All right. Yeah, yeah. All right, so Kevin, here's the whole thing. You're not on medication, and you don't.
I get the definite vibe that he likes people, he likes him, but he is really alone. And when he goes into battle feeling so disconnected, it's all just not syncing up.
Right.
And so why don't you focus on getting a relationship going? Don't focus on smacking down with a bunch of women.
I said that 20 minutes
ago. Yeah, I know. That's what I said. I said all right. Yes when you said that. But he sounds really, deeper than I think he realizes. He feels empty and alone, and you got to kind of deal with that.
Well, here's the thing, too. People should pay us, or even just Drew, because, I'm literally a millionaire. So let's pay Drew just to call, and you just call, and we just give you a sentence. And the sentence is, I'm happy, and I'm fulfilled. One could be, I'm sad, I'm morose, or whatever. You have a couple sentences. You just read them to Drew, and Drew will tell you.
No,
whether you're lonely, or whether you're sad, or whether you're empty, or whether you've been abused.
Just based
or
on how we feel. How you make us feel.
Well, you could really just count from 1 to 10. Just do a mic check.
Yeah.
And Drew will tell you, here's what's going on.
That's true.
Based on, and you'd probably be right 80% of the time. Yeah. Desi?
Yes.
16?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I just got out of a relationship. It was going on for about 3 weeks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A little more than that, maybe a month. And he took my virginity.
Mm-hmm.
He took it. Stole it.
Stole the virginity, yeah.
So he breaks up with me, and we were having sex, constantly. But he breaks up with me, and then he starts dating one of my best friends.
All right, hold on.
We got to take a break, but this is good. We'll get you back on your honeymoon.
Sure.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Desi after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back and speak to young Desi. Poor Desi, 16 years of age. Went out with a guy for about 3 weeks or so.
How old was the guy?
He was 18.
How old?
18.
Ooh.
Took her virginity.
And now?
Had a lot of sex and then started having sex with her friend?
No, it was okay, I'm pretty sure that he wasn't cheating on me, but my friend came into town, and about 3 days later, he broke up with me. And within that 3 days, we weren't having sex at all. And
yeah, because he broke up with you. That's why you weren't having sex.
He broke up with me,
Hello?
3 days after my friend got in.
Hello?
Hello?
What? Is he?
Yeah?
Why'd you say?
I didn't.
Then why did the phone ring?
It didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Hello?
There you go. What was that?
I don't know.
Well, who was that?
On the other line?
Yes.
My friend Kyle, I don't know. He said the phone rang. I called him. I was like, listen to me on the radio, because he was trying to call me during the break, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How was he able to break in on our phone line?
Huh?
All right. Kyle's got a lot of attitude. Okay. Is Kyle gay? What's up with Kyle?
I don't know. I don't want to know. I want to know what the hell's going with Desi. What's her question? There's no question yet.
No, doesn't have a question.
What's your question?
I just need advice on getting over my ex-boyfriend.
I don't know.
It sounds bogus, doesn't it?
Sounds bogus, does.
But here's the deal. Every relationship will end like this.
Yeah.
You'll have sex, then you will break up, and then you won't, and then you or your boyfriend
don't get pregnant
will date
and
somebody
don't
else.
Have sex so soon, and it'll help you.
Right. And the guy's an a-hole that he picked on your friend instead of showing you some respect and just ducking out with the head, held low in shame like it should have.
It's going to be weird 50 years from now. There's a bunch of 70-year-old guys named Kyle. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Kyle.
That's not a good 75-year-old name.
We could have a president named Kyle.
Ooh. Nah.
Think about that.
No Kyle, no Todd.
We could have a guy named Todd who's president. We could have a guy named Kyle named president. Eventually, one's going to break through.
Yeah.
Dylan. Got a president. President Dylan Jacobs. Dylan. We'd have a president named Dylan. You know one of these idiots is going to break through. Wow. Kyle or Dylan or Jacob.
How about that's Hillary? That's kind of a weird.
Yeah.
You know, really abstract the name from the person. It's kind of like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Sam?
Oh, yeah.
15?
Yep.
What's up?
Yeah, like last night I was with my girlfriend and I was fingering her and she said to stop because it hurt and yeah. I asked her why and she was, I don't know, she just said it hurt and then, but she said it doesn't hurt when she does it, like by herself.
Yeah, there's not much you can do, Sam. The vagina is not an inside out penis.
Yeah,
I know that's what you think.
Powerful
it is.
Stuff, Drew.
That's how young males approach the female genitalia, as though it's just an inside-out version of what they have.
And yeah.
It's a totally different piece of equipment. Totally.
Yeah.
And no two are the same. It's the other thing you've got to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's very hard to find two that are the same.
Really.
And many don't like you to do that thing where you're pushing down there with your hand.
You take it easy.
Yeah.
And yeah. All of them want you to do it very lightly. For the most part.
I was.
All right. Well, here's the thing, Drew. It's sort of like, I'm trying to think, but I'm trying to think what the equivalent sort of thing is. It's like sort of like having, for a male, I guess it'd be like having your teeth cleaned or something. It's like somebody's monkeying around in your mouth, and it can work out. You know, they can be gentle, and they can do a nice job. But if they start getting rough, it's going to be uncomfortable in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're like, look, you got about a half hour worth of teeth cleaning, but I got about 10 minutes here, so let's see if we can get through this. It's going to be an uncomfortable ride for
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
They're just sort of poking and fiddling around and
no, there are
and
things
whatnot.
that get uncomfortable. And
yeah, I'm just saying, I think most 15-year-olds, most guys under the age of 25, are just a little too sort of
too anxious for it
rambunctious.
Well, they're anxious also for it to be like them. They know how they'd like things done to them and what it feels like for them.
Right.
And have difficulty translating that into a totally different system, the female system.
Right.
And they've had their little limited experience and their thing is, well, what the last one liked.
Right.
Fill in the blank.
The last one was faking it.
Anyway.
So you'd quit. Yeah,
right. Right.
Well, let's be honest. All right. Sam.
Yeah.
Just stay on the outside, buddy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Slow down.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Satisfied customer. Yeah. He's going to go forward.
Yeah. Here's the other problem, too. Guys are going to get exposed to more and more porn. Porn is not a realistic depiction of how that works. Those chicks are coked up.
Right.
They've been shot up with Novocaine.
Or whatever.
Yeah. They've been doused with liquid cocaine in their genitalia, and the guy's just going at it,
yeah.
and then the chick's screaming,
and she's faking it.
She's faking acting. It, but she's like, oh my God, she's loving this, and then that becomes your
but
that's
you
your
try.
Template.
Right
there, you go. Yeah. All right, here's how they like it.
Yeah.
Well, would you think anything differently if you just watch a ton of internet porn and you're 15 and now you're
what else they got to go on?
Confronted with your first vagina.
Huh.
Hmm.
Heavy.
Heavy.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. That's why I'm going to have to talk to your boys. Sarah?
Will you?
Yeah.
I'll be great.
Not now, but 3 months from now. Sarah?
Take
yeah.
Them out flying the airplanes. He promised that forever.
22?
They'll be beside yeah. themselves.
Take them out. Take them out. Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just do it one more time. It's been a while. The cat versus canine.
Oh, that's
canine
a good idea.
Versus
yeah.
feline.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is... Women need to be treated sexually like you treat a cat, and men need to be treated sexually or would like to be treated sexually as you treat a dog.
Not just any dog. Big old
lab.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Paris Hilton's.
No, not know. A Lhasa Apso or something.
Crazy rats these yeah. people drag around right. with them everywhere in little baskets like right. idiots. No, And it's, by the way, that's just one more thing that they take that they sort of foist on society. Like, I have to now contend with your dog. Narcissistic bitch. Like, but leave the goddamn dog at home. I got to comment on it. I have to pet it. I have to love it, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
At the airport, in the plane, you know, this weird thing. Like, I have to be into the crap you're into.
Yeah.
And by the way, that chihuahua, I'd like to back over that thing. Horrible. They're horrible animals. I mean, people act like dogs are just dogs. Oh, lab, a chihuahua, a husky, a malamute. They're all the same. No. Chihuahuas are horrible.
Different.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
They're horrible. They're just horrible. I've never met one that didn't growl at everyone and snap at everyone and wasn't just a complete waste of time.
Move it along.
Oh, Anderson has a chihuahua.
Oh, he does?
I can't remember if he has one or he likes one or something.
I'm very close to three chihuahuas, and they're all amazing.
Oh, that's right.
They're all horrible,
Move it along.
Horrible animals.
All right, anyway.
Horrible.
They're different.
Okay, here's the point. You treat a woman like you treat a cat, which is you don't go bounding after
you
a cat.
You approach slow.
Slowly.
And actually slowly. Let the cat come to you.
That's the whole thing. It's why cats hate toddlers, because toddlers run up and pounce on the cats. They're pulling on its tail and its ears, and the cats are always, they'll spend the entire visit with the toddler on top of the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Now,
which is, by the way, like our buddy Sam we just spoke to.
That's right.
That's where his girlfriend was headed, for on top of the refrigerator.
Take it slow. Put your hand out. Cat comes by. Cat's a little curious. Cat starts rubbing. Cat will provide its own pressure.
It'll show you where to push.
Mm-hmm. Cat'll sort of start pushing this. You never see a cat pick its paw up and start rubbing its paw against you. And if you start grabbing its paw, it tries to pull. It doesn't like that.
Right.
But it likes that sort of small, the back stuff and that rump stuff, and it'll just rub.
They present.
They present. And they'll start putting the pressure. They'll start putting the pressure on. Mm-hmm. So your job is to try to apply equal pressure where they're putting the pressure. The next thing, when you're petting the cat, don't go against the grain. On the first, slow, rhythmic. Don't be all over the map. Just lots of consistency.
Yeah, just because the cat wants it right there doesn't mean you can now go start shaking down the cat.
Right. You want to keep the cat on your lap? You want to keep the cat purring?
Slow and easy.
Nice and rhythmic. Nice and slow.
Circular motions.
Yeah, like a hula dancer. La, 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 la. As you do. Now, dog, we do. Throw the dog, spin around, throw it on its back, start grabbing its belly, pulling the ears.
Yeah, the more aggressive, the better.
They start going, they like it.
Throw them down.
That's right.
Rub the belly.
Rump. Cat, nice and rhythmic.
And now you approach that pussycat the way you approach that lab, bad times.
Bad times.
Yeah.
Cat's freaked out. Cat's
scratched.
Running. And then, by the way, the next time that cat sees you coming in the room.
Taking off.
That's right.
Taking notes, Rick? Yeah. Okay.
Sarah?
Yes?
22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, at age 22, I think I have overactive bladder, which I think is something that only affects old people.
What are your symptoms and how long you had them?
Well, it started popping up shortly after I graduated high school, so I was about 18. Mm-hmm. At first, it was only occasional, like right when I was coming home. All of a sudden, well, one moment I wouldn't have to urinate at all. The very next moment, I would have to urinate very, very, very badly to a point that I wet my pants at age 18 of that time a couple times. And it's just,
when you lost your urine, did it empty your entire bladder? Like a whole bunch came out, or just a little bit?
Just a little bit.
And like, this happened only twice.
Oh, no, this happened occasionally.
How about in the middle of the night? Did you get up in the middle of the night to pee?
No. I sleepwalk.
You sleepwalk. All right.
You
know whether you get up in the middle of the night and urinate or not.
Yeah. No, Sarah,
well,
these
I'm,
are
awesome.
All these
I'm,
crazy anxiety symptoms and stuff. Mm-hmm. So overactive bladder is, you know, yes, there's a, really overactive bladder is a neurogenic bladder, and that's not what you have. This is an anxiety symptom for you.
Huh. Really? I think I have that. I've been doing a lot of whizzing.
It keeps getting worse, and now at this point, it's several times during the day.
Well, here's how we know it's not overactive bladder, because you're not getting up three times a night to urinate.
Well, doesn't
really?
Doesn't everyone? How many whizzes does the average guy take during the day? I mean, it depends on how much coffee you drink or soda or whatever.
Three
but,
four times a day, I imagine.
Yeah. All right. Well, she says it's like two, three times a day.
Yeah. But she has to go suddenly, and she's afraid she's going to lose. But all that urgency and all that stuff is, you know, obviously you've had your analyses done, right?
Well, I went to I go to the Planned Parenthood.
Okay,
Planned
Parenthood is not adequate for this, not at all.
I go for my yearly checkup so I can stay on birth control.
Planned Parenthood is not adequate for these symptoms you're having.
Go back to Planned Parenthood. Dr. Drew is trying to explain to you why Planned Parenthood isn't a good facility.
And she's just repeating, I go to Planned Parenthood, I go to Planned Parenthood.
But what is the part where a medical physician is explaining to you some protocol and you're steamrolling them?
Every patient, every day.
How about you
the way it works.
Let him finish his goddamn sentence.
Yeah.
Maybe he possesses some knowledge.
Some training.
And some training.
The other thing, people really confuse knowledge and experience and training. They're thinking like, well, I looked it up on the internet, and therefore that's everything you know, now I know.
Right.
No, no, no. When you've seen these symptoms 1,000 times in 1,000 different contexts, it makes for a different understanding of these kinds of symptoms. And here's the deal. You need to see a urologist to begin with to make sure there's not a urological problem, which I doubt there is. And then I would certainly recommend a psychiatrist, because the sleepwalking, the anxiety, the urgency, all that stuff really adds up to something of a psychiatric nature.
I'm dumbfounded by the amount of people we say, no, just listen here. Oh, yes, I know, Planned Parenthood, but what you know,
that's anxiety stuff. You know?
But here's the thing. I didn't kick open your front door while you were watching the Desperate Housewives and try to lay some crazy ideology out on you. Start reading the Watchtower to you while you're trying to watch Desperate Housewives. You called a radio show to speak to a physician about a specific problem you were having. Mm. You don't want to listen?
No.
You don't want to let him say his piece?
No.
You're going to steamroll him? You're going to filibust every time he wants to talk to you about something? You're just going to...
The other thing, in addition to that confusion about experience, training, and knowledge, don't believe... Because, as a physician, you can smell stuff walking in the room. You know exactly what's going on. You don't have to hear every detail about what's happened since these symptoms began or since you were born or whatever. You know what's going on. Just you can put the piece together very, very quickly. And people don't buy that. You don't understand. It's me. There's something. You got to listen. I got to tell you every detail.
A facet of this where the person is like, look, there's more to this Planned Parenthood story than you know, because I went there and then I went back. Fine. Let the physician finish saying what he's saying, and then you can alert him to this fact. You don't have to shove it up his ass while he's spitting out stuff. All right. Just go call them.
It really wouldn't matter what they did at Planned Parenthood, because, A, I know they don't have urologists on staff there, so I know you haven't seen a urologist, and that's what you need. I also know they don't have psychiatrists, so once the urological problem has been evaluated, that's where you need to go next. And I'm not saying a psychologist. I'm saying a psychiatrist.
I'm doing a lot of whizzing myself. Oh,
yeah?
True.
Yeah. Maybe you have diabetes.
Maybe I have diabetes?
Yeah.
How do I get that checked?
Well, you got just a blood test, very simple. You probably already had that. All these surgeries and stuff you've had. I'm sure they screen you for that. Yeah. But, you have your medicine at night.
There's
large volumes in that medicine.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Drew. Please.
And by the way, you're getting age now when the prostate's getting big, and may not be that you're whizzing a lot. You're just whizzing frequently.
No, but here's the thing, Drew. There are copious
huge
amounts
whizzes.
Of urine.
Huge whizzes.
I almost fill the sink. I mean, toilet.
But
every time.
But you know what?
Whiz.
Again, the volume I bet that's coming out is less than it used to be, because the prostate kind of shrinks
urethra. No, I understand your hypotheses, but I mean, to me, it's sort of how long I'm standing where I'm standing.
That's what I'm
saying. There's a fair amount coming out. I mean, I take a good one. I mean, I take a good one before I go to bed at night. I drink a couple glasses of medicine before I turn in. But in terms of volume, it's not that much.
Right.
Not that much. And then I take a good long whiz. And then I go to bed and, 5 in the morning, get up, and I'll take a decent-sized whiz then. And then when I get up in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, where I'm ready for another good whiz. And the volume doesn't seem to match whatever's going in. You know what I'm saying?
Let me just point out to you that you and I sit here and drink 6 cups of coffee, 3 glasses of water.
Coffee, yes.
And then wonder why you pee
you're right.
all night. Okay?
You're right. All right. All right, give me some salt tablets and some sand.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, let's talk to...
I like
Tim over here.
Yeah, let's talk to him. Tim's got it.
Yeah, he's got what we call it. Tim?
Hey, how you doing, guys doing?
27, what's up, my brother?
Oh, man, this is like one of the highlights of my life to be talking to you guys finally. Long, 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 long time listener.
Right back at you.
What took
Adam,
you so long?
I got a personal request.
I've been waiting for you, Tim, all these years.
Yeah.
Crying out loud, where you been?
This might date me, but Adam, I'd like you to officially name me Dean of the Junior College at Boobville.
That's right, I'm going to have a junior college. Yeah, so I can ridicule people.
Yeah,
it's going to be called Junior College.
It's not going to be called Community College.
No, but I mean, it's not going to be Boobville Community College. It's going to be Junior College.
Yeah, I'm even thinking of calling it Junior College.
How about just College Junior?
I'm actually going to call it Junior College, named after a famous junior.
with huge jugs.
Yeah. All right, Tim, what's up?
Well, I'm 27. My wife is in her third trimester now. It's our first baby. We're having twins.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Date is January 3rd. A couple of weeks ago, the libido kicked in real hard.
Yeah, that is one of God's many tricks, is that he makes sure that women in their final trimester just are into it.
Well, I mean, she's into it.
And then if you're having some preterm labor and stuff and you can't do anything about it.
Well, she's got, and I don't know, I mean, her vulva, I guess, or
it's all swollen
labia
up.
Or what? It's all swollen up.
Yeah,
really, really sore, and she wants the sex, and I can't. You know, it's off limits.
Sure.
It hurts so bad. So she wants butt sex, like all
she
the
wants
time.
Wants butt sex. All right.
Adam, I'm like you. I'm not anti butt sex, but I'm not pro butt sex either.
Have you tried it? You've done it with her?
Yeah, for the last 2 weeks, it's all I've done, and it's just not. I mean.
It's not doing it for you. Is it doing it for her?
Yeah, she digs it.
All right. Well, he may have to take one for the team.
Well,
how about oral sex? That's too swollen down there?
I can do the oral as long as I stay towards the north end of the business.
Well, that's where the action is. So.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But, you know, Drew, she's tried sitz baths. I'm ready to pull out Bactine or cocoa butter, anything I can do. Is there anything?
Swelling down there?
Well, have you talked to a gynecologist or obstetrician? I mean, this is not an uncommon thing.
Well, I haven't talked to him. She has. Last time she got seen was...
Swollen vagina. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm worried that she has You know, listen, she it's actually not a trivial issue. If she actually has a vaginal infection adding... I mean, usually the swelling is not associated with irritation. And so that irritation actually bothers me a little bit. And
it's not associated with pressure or irritation.
Well, she's talking about inflammation of the lining of the vulva. She's saying it burns and it hurts. And that the swelling is usually not associated with that, at least not in my experience. And that at least triggers the possibility of this being a vaginitis, which actually could threaten the pregnancy.
Really?
Yeah. So this is actually not a trivial thing to have looked into. You got to check it out. And there, I'm sure the doctor has a few tricks. There are anti-inflammatory creams and stuff that he could give you, or she could give you.
Yeah, I would be scared that anal would induce labor.
I would too. That's another thing. You need to discuss it with the doctor. It seems highly stimulating.
Dropping out while you're packing fudge. Oh my God, what a mess! I'll tell you, you'd have to throw that comforter away.
Every time.
And you couldn't flip that mattress fast enough.
Oh, no. That'd be just the whole room be destroyed.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to tent the place off.
Meconium.
Light off one of those anal foggers. Holiday makes them. They're not just fecal roaches mattress. And
think,
ants.
Think of the fluids. Amniotic fluid, meconium, feces.
Water-soluble lube.
Semen, lube.
KY. Astragline.
Placenta.
Possibly snot rocket or two, depending on how he reacted.
And then some vomit.
Then
there you go.
Yeah.
It's quite a mix.
Wow. All right. God bless Tim, by the way, trooper.
Yeah. Oh, you listen, you'll find out.
Yeah, I just,
you gotta start hanging with your wife. You
That whole part, though, where it's like, look, I'm not really into the anal, but, you know, your wish is my command. And that's what I'm saying, ladies. You hear Tim? Not his bag, but he's willing to accommodate.
And men aim to please.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We don't look at ourselves as compromised if we do something sexually that isn't exactly what we want to be doing that second.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why is it, you know, you ask a woman to do something she doesn't want to do. Oh, that's rape. Yeah, but they've been married for 23 years.
I don't care.
It's right. Well, he just had that hip surgery, so he wanted her to get on. You know, he wanted her to get on him. And no,
how dare you?
It's rape. Nothing short of rape. Really? Can't just please the guy? That's what we do.
Sexual coercion.
That's all we do. That's all we do, ladies. Stuff we don't want to do. That's what we do.
Tim could be the poster child for all that.
Yeah,
got to get him in here.
Taking it for the team. Take a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak to Mercedes. Had three orgasms while working out on a treadmill. Mm. You want to say hi to her?
Yeah.
Mercedes?
Suddenly you do.
Yeah.
Well, Drew knows the multi-orgasmic sound. He knows the voice of the possessor of the multi-orgasm, which is you, Mercedes.
Hello.
What do you think, Drew? Nothing?
We'll see. Okay. Thumbs up. Doesn't fit for me yet.
Mercedes?
Yes. Okay, let me explain. I was on the treadmill, and it was really weird. Like, at first, I thought it was just, like, my muscles relaxing.
Hold on a second. Drew, not speaking to you.
Drew, we'll see. We're going to find out
what this is. Drew knows the tone of the multi-orgasmic chick, and
this is not it.
Gonna
be like a, you know what this is going to be? It's going to be like an antihistamine or something that made her do this. Like a medication.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hang on, Mercedes. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
Shop, shop, shop. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. That's true.
Shop, 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 shop.
Talking about shopping? Yeah.
Must be.
Madam, and when we left off, we're speaking to Mercedes. Mercedes is 24 and was on a treadmill and had three orgasms the other day. Yes, Mercedes?
Okay, let me explain it a little bit better. I'm assuming that they were because of the feeling that I got was more intense than I've ever had than if I were to have one, like, in bed or whatever.
Have you had orgasms otherwise?
Yes, I have. The reason why I say that this is more intense is because it felt good, but it was, like, at the same time, I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is going on? Because I'm just power walking on a treadmill. So I guess my question is, was it literally an orgasm, or was it the dynamics of me power walking, maybe the speed I was going, was something else being triggered, or was it muscle relaxation? I was just
Women can have orgasm doing sit-ups. They can have orgasm sitting on a cold bathroom floor. It depends on you and the circumstance.
And also, it's hard to define. I mean, here's the whole thing with men. Orgasm is like a home run in Major League Baseball. It's not like I'm not sure.
Maybe that was a home run.
Look, it either cleared the fence or it doesn't.
Right.
If it doesn't clear the fence, you better start running. And if it does, you can start jogging. But either way, there's no like, it's unclear. Barry Bonds, whether he has is if 6'10" or does he have 180 home. It's he counts some of these as home runs, but we don't count them as. Now that's the beauty of the male orgasm. If you wanted to, and this is one of the things I'm going to talk to your sons about, you could tally them, and you would have an exact number at the end of your lifetime.
Oh, you want to keep
it as a male?
So we need like one of the thing the umpires got.
It's not that one. It's the one the bouncer uses in front of the club.
For the fire marshal.
Yeah. Because everyone walking big club, but the point is you never really think about it. As a male, you could probably keep track of every single orgasm you ever had. As a woman. Some women could, but then others would be some gray area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think pretty clearly she had orgasms. She had three of them, though, interestingly. So let's see if she's had.
Yeah, let's see if she's multi-orgasmic.
Yeah, if you go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
But what?
So I'm going, and like the first 5 or 6 minutes, I felt something. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I went a little bit more, and about 7 minutes later, I was like, oh my gosh. And then it was the third one, and I'm not kidding. I lost my balance, and I almost fell off the treadmill.
Wow.
That's comical.
I was...
Well, that's the,
was,
that was the orgasm. God. Probably the other ones weren't even orgasms.
And, like, it sounds so ridiculous, but I
I can't hear Mercedes. What?
Oh, it sounds so ridiculous, but literally the third one, I went, oh, my gosh. Like,
wow.
And it was just really weird, and I was like, thank God this was in my house and not at the gym.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah.
I think the third one was probably actually an orgasm. The other two probably weren't even.
Tremors. Yeah. Do you have a boyfriend?
No, I've never actually had a boyfriend.
Have you had orgasms with another person?
No.
Do you masturbate to orgasms?
Hold on, let me do some math here. Power walking at home at 24. Got up to 165.
And you're fat.
Never actually had a boyfriend. Now we're 185, and then their orgasm 207. That's what I've ended up with. Mercedes?
Yes.
What's the weight?
Yeah, I was just saying, whatever you have, the number in your head, you want to probably times it by two.
Well, I actually, I was wrong because the Mercedes should have got me. I should have tacked on 50 for the name. How much do you weigh, sweetie pea?
Well, I will be honest with you, and I've actually, because I do come from a big family, I actually just lost an uncle who was in the hospital. He fell at home. They had to take him out. He had pneumonia, but the big problem was he was over 700 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was the thing that really kicked it for me. Like, not only seeing a 700-pound man lying in a hospital bed, but everyone else in the hospital room was between 300 to 400 pounds.
And I was like, family. The family, you mean?
Yeah, it's a family thing. Like, the only people who were thin were my sister, who's 140, if that, and then my cousin, who's 120. But other than that, we are big people. And it literally took that to make me go, you know what? You're 24. You cannot live your life this way.
How old was your uncle?
He had just turned 56.
Boy, you may... It's
over 700 pounds.
Yeah,
first
can't
off,
live
do
like
you
that.
Even... Like, here's the thing. Do you even know when you fall when you're over 700 pounds? It's like knowing when a ball falls that's been rolling on the ground. Like, when is it ever up?
Yeah, the thing is, it was so scary. He was in the hospital for about a month or two, and he lost about 200 pounds, so he was 500 pounds when he passed away. Yeah. But
was he, at 700 pounds, was he able to stand up and move around?
Not really.
I'm just curious how he fell.
To tell you the truth, the whole entire situation, this was a half uncle of mine because if we went into my whole entire family story, we would be on here for another 4 days.
Yeah,
so,
all right, no doubt.
But just to let you know, this was he was a half uncle of mine, blood related and whatnot.
Yeah.
When he went in the hospital, it was 7:34. When he did pass away, he was about 5:25. But when he lost more of the weight, since they were able to move more stuff, they found out they had a hernia that basically busted out of him. And he
Oh, my God. Okay, but let me just ask you. First off, how do you weigh people in the hospital that are...
They actually showed us. They had
crane.
They have a
crane thing.
It was semi. What they did is they got the cloth kind of thing, kind of in
under,
a way, tucked
the harness.
It under him.
Oh, it's like how you move dolphins out of the tank.
Right, exactly. And that thing weighs them.
Wow.
And I had like a 400 or 500 pounder once. And I remember in the first, I was teaching at the time. And
but
I had,
you're catch and release, right? You didn't actually.
Yeah, we sent him back.
You didn't gaff it on board.
No. We're just observing it. Kept it in the tank. Kept it in tank for observation.
Oh, my God.
And this woman diarrhea. I mean, she peed like 85 pounds in the first 2 days in the hospital. She was in heart failure.
I think I did that.
And
last
I had this like little intern there. I was training to go, she diarrhea one of you in 2 days.
Wow.
One of you out 2 days.
Wow.
Just pee.
So it really put me to realize this is not how I want to live my life. I don't want to get to that. So this happened in July.
Well, how much do you weigh now?
Right now, I weigh 310, and that's because I've lost 35 pounds since July.
Wow.
Why do you consider, I mean, you may be one of these candidates for the bypass.
Bariatric
surgery.
When people see me, they usually assume, oh, well, you couldn't be more than 250, 270 would be pushing it. But people really think I'm between 225 and 250 because I am proportioned. That is one thing that I'm lucky about.
Well, we got to bring you down to about 150.
Oh, yeah, I totally know.
I am a 5'8".
Yeah, we got to get you down there. And some people, the bariatric surgery, if the genetics are the way you're suggesting, that may be the only way. But all about, I mean, I'm not trying to discourage you from the exercise and the diet. By all means, try that first.
By all means, what I'm doing these days, and I'm really happy and I've really stuck to it because, like I said, you never know. You don't know how it is to see a 70-pound man laying in a bed, you know?
With the skin breaking the down.
No, I
You really don't.
The idea that it's a crazy compliment. You're not an ounce over 275. No. 335. Get the F out of town. Are you kidding me?
Wouldn't it put you a pound over 260?
I had you just a little fly. You're just like a cotton ball. I can't have you. 270. No. Not an ounce over two. I refuse to say you're an ounce over 270.
Three bells?
Three
no
bells.
Way.
Ridiculous.
No way.
I know 300 pounds when I see it. You aren't it.
Well, here's the 700-pound stuff. They can't breathe. They get pneumonia because they literally can't move their chest enough to ventilate the bases of their lungs.
Yeah.
They get their skin breaks down in horrible ways. You can't believe
it. I would say you could lose 125 to 140 pounds, but if you say 200 pounds, I'll just say, no, please. It's like, it's a weird conversation to get in.
Yeah.
You look fantastic for 335. You look like 280. Yeah.
Proportion.
Hello.
All right, Mercedes, here's all I'm saying, sweetie P.
Yeah.
A couple things. Here's my belief for people that are as big as they are, as soon as they are. Genetic hand, baby.
And that's why the surgery.
Genetic hand.
Apart.
Society doesn't like the whole genetic hand thing.
Yeah.
Society doesn't like the genetic hand thing on the good side or the bad side.
Right.
Yeah. It wants to play it hard. Here's what we want.
We want to be a tabula rasa, that the man superimposes everything on us.
We would like Michael Jordan to write a book on how we get a vertical leap. We would like Claudia Schiffer to give us her beauty secrets. So we can all be that. And you, we'd like to punish for being a slob. The reality is Claudia Schiffer is Claudia Schiffer. You're you. You could never be her, and she could never be you.
Exactly.
There is not a Cinnabon big enough and an airport large enough for her to be you. It's impossible. Not at 24, not at 54, just impossible.
Yeah, well, not genetically set up that way.
Can I add something?
Yes.
My fittest that I ever was, I was in fifth and sixth grade, and I was doing both softball and dance about 4 to 6 times a week.
Right.
And at that time, I was still about the same height, and I was a size 14, 16, because I was, like, pure muscle.
Right.
And so, like,
how much did you weigh?
Let's say probably 175, 185.
Right. But the point is in the fifth grade, you weighed 180.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
twice.
That's nice. You like a strong safety to junior college to weigh somewhere what you weighed in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's twice in all fifth grade.
That's a genetic. That's a genetic situation.
Yeah. I'm not. If you would have seen my family, you would be like, oh my god.
No, that's what
I'm
saying.
The point.
What I'm saying. Get the surgery.
Yeah.
You know,
whatever.
And the interesting thing.
Right, that's enough. Yeah. Get the surgery. Look, everybody. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people asking other people how they got this way and how they got that way. I mean, I marvel at the human body. The guy with the biggest, nicest calves I know is a guy named Tony we work with. Always has big knots for calves. And you watch professional football players, professional tennis players, and professional whatever players. None of them have the calves that Tony has, and Tony doesn't do anything.
Right.
Now, people want to ask Tony where he got these beautiful calves, and the answer is his dad. Look at professional tennis players. Professional tennis players' legs don't really look any different than any other guy you know is not fat, does a little jogging.
Right.
For the most part.
Yes, I agree.
Unless he has that genetic predisposition. The arm they swing the racket with looks the same. Like, John McEnroe never looked any better with his shirt off and a pair of shorts than anybody other 22-year-old guy he went to college with. And all the guy did was run around a tennis court all day, every day.
Remember Rod Laver?
Yeah.
He had a huge right hand. Right arm.
Yeah.
But that's him, too, by the way.
That was him, too.
The activity with that arm has caused some buildup.
Right. Now, should my buddy Tony with the big calves write a book on how to have big calves? Because according to him, do a little walking.
That's it.
Take your dog to the park.
Get huge calves.
Get huge calves. Right.
That's
That's how you do it. All right. No, I'm just saying the people that have blue eyes don't need to write a book on how to be blue eyes. Claudia Schiffer doesn't need to write a book about being hot. And Mercedes shouldn't be punished for being 180 pounds in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
That's it. That's your cut. That's what you got.
Yeah.
Now be realistic about it and go get this bypass surgery.
Yes.
I would almost argue, Drew, and you as a doctor, stop me. Barring somebody with, you know, a deep-seated psychiatric problem, hey, man, if you're 300 pounds plus as a chick by age 19 or 20, boom, you got a genetic problem.
I think that's probably true.
Now, it's one thing. Well, you lock yourself in your room and hook up a pump that just feeds soft swirl into your veins. All right, that's one thing.
But even that's usually 250, 270.
I don't know somebody who could be that at that.
Yeah.
I hang around exclusively people who just sort of eat what they want, do what they want. They just look, they're all the same.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Think about the people you know, even as you get older, the guys I know now, they're getting up there now. They still eat the same crap. They do the same thing. They all look exactly the same as they look. The fat guys are fat. The skinny guys are skinny, and everything's the same.
And there you go.
All right. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Hello. This is your radio.
Dolls. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone 1-800-LOVE-191-ER. Let's speak to Amy. She's been on hold for 90 minutes. Amy?
Hello.
Ooh. Ooh.
What's going on there?
You're 18. What's up?
Well, I have problems committing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So don't commit. You're 18.
You don't have
to. My mom wants me to.
Wants you to get married or something?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to.
No, she wants the whole kid thing. I love my mom to death.
Beautiful. Have kids when you're 30. That's fine.
Does your mom really want you to have kids at 18 or 19?
Yeah.
No. Well, then.
First off, go to college. So many things young girls feel are just feeling like my dad says I'm fat.
Right.
You know, like right. your dad said that maybe it was cold. You should put a jacket on, and then didn't call you fat. Right. Or your dad said that miniskirt's too tight on you, put a dress on. He didn't say you're fat. You just heard that.
Right.
You know, I wonder, does your mother physically just tell you, hey, you're 18, you got to start having kids for me?
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, even if she does, why would you listen to that crap?
Excuse me?
Well, even if she is saying that, why would you listen to it?
Because I love her.
I know you love her, but she's got retarded ideas.
Where's your dad?
Away.
Oh,
all right. All right. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Have you ever had a boyfriend?
Yeah, like tons of times.
Tons of times. All right. And could you imagine being married to any of those idiots?
I can, the shortest relationship I've had is 5 hours.
Shortest relationship. I didn't ask that. I said, can you imagine being married to one of those J.O.s?
The shortest relationship I've had is 5 hours. It's Carol Channing telling her shortest relationship. Okay, Amy.
Yeah.
This sounds like a disaster. First off,
go to college.
What's going on with you?
Go to college.
What are you doing? Are you working?
I work at a store in the mall.
But you sound smart. Why aren't you going to school?
Well, it's not.
I wanted to, but my mom was like.
Yeah, but you're not. You're not. Your life isn't run by your mom.
Is your mom from Korea or something? Is she some effed up culture? Where's she from?
She's from Colombia. We're Mormon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there's a cultural thing going on.
I don't know. Just I want to be a psychiatrist. So, she told me, no, that you're going to go nowhere. And so I want kids. And
Amy, please go follow your dreams. Being a psychiatrist would be great for you. And you can have kids, too.
Just move out of the house.
Yeah.
Move out of the house.
You are not responsible for your mother's life. Yes, you love your mom. Yes, you want her to be happy. Keep an eye on that. But in the meantime, you're responsible for your life. You've got your smart girl. You got some great ideas. There we go. Bring it on.
Let me tell you. Look, everybody, here's what you need to do. Stand back, take an objective look at your parents, as I've done many times in my own life. size them up, not just based on the car they're driving or the house they live in, but have they been what you would deem successful? And part of that is the house they're living in and the car they're driving. Happy, successful relationships, successful relationships with their children, successful in business, work, their own relationship, friends. How many friends do they have? Stand back and take a look at your parents. Then decide, do you want to go down that road? Do you want to emulate them? Or, as the case is for the Ace Man, do you want to pull a 180? You do the exact opposite. And then you think to yourself.
Or do you want to incorporate things and do something on your own?
Yeah, you treat it like a gin rummy hand. Grab a few of the good cards they have and discard. For me, it'd be almost the entire deck. But you think to yourself, what would Dad do given this situation or opportunity? And then you think, all right, I'll do the opposite. And that's how you work it. Now, if your parents are successful and they're happy and they're adjusted and their kids love them and they're together and they live in a nice house and drive a nice car and everyone has a good job, then feel free to be exactly like them. But if they're living in a crappy apartment and you don't know where Dad is and they're collecting disability out in Indio, maybe it's time to not have that person be your compass for life. Doesn't mean you have to slap them in the face or disown them.
Or not give them what they want.
Respectfully.
But do it on your terms.
Move out. That's the first step. Get out of there. Second step is start living your life. And yes, you not going to college and getting knocked up is an archaic thought from the old land.
It's not an accident that, Amy, from the moment we picked up the phone with you, I started chanting about college.
Right.
Because I can tell you're smart. I tell you you can accomplish something. Don't squander
it. Do it. Dan. 19?
Hey. Yes, Sam.
What's up?
About an hour or so ago, I ejaculated, and as I was,
it's got 15 minutes on me.
Huge burning sensation, and I kind of, it felt as if, and I actually felt a little granule, like a granule of sand or something, came out.
Do you, have you had new sexual contacts at all?
I am in a committed relationship right now, but we both got tested, and I don't know, he, not the type of guy to cheat around on me, so.
Yes. Oh, it's he, I could have just been a piece of corn.
What?
That's happened to me.
Okay.
Dan, the you can have
caraway seed, something that just passed through the
semen.
Track.
Can get kind of chunky and hard, believe it or not. It can irritate things on the way out. It doesn't have to mean there's an infection, but
move a granule?
You can have granules from your kidney that settle in your bladder, but they usually still don't come out during ejaculation. They come out
when
you're peeing.
What would get, is it possible you had some sort of kidney stone that got caught up in your urethra and it got pushed through with the semen?
Prostate stones, there are prostate stones.
There are.
But he's too young for that. It's probably just normal inflammation of sort of semen production, but you got to look into STD because that's also a sign of an STD.
Quick break. Michael.
Yeah.
Sorry you've been on hold. We'll talk to you first tomorrow night. We're just plumb out of time. We got to go to commercial break, and I feel the same way about young Bryce. Bryce, hang on. First out of the chute tomorrow night, or second behind Michael. Sorry, brother. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
The show, y'all. Thanks for hanging in tonight. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.